This VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. Follow the Money is brought to you by PropitX. And right now you can compete to become the King of March and win free trips up to $10,000. Download the PropitX app and use the code VSiNMM. Again, go get that today. The PropitX app. Use the code VSiNMM. We do have, welcome aboard, by the way. Thanks for watching YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. We do have a Big Ten game starting here momentarily. It's Maryland and Oregon. The Ducks about a 4-point favorite total, upper 130s. This is a, we're talking about two, obviously, this early in the tournament, really bad outfits this year.
Yep.
Maryland in points per possession allowed, 315th in the country. Oregon, 237th. Both teams rank in the top 100 in offensive rebounding percentage, so they're good at that. Defensively, not great at forcing turnovers. Maryland, 299. Oregon, 241. And you go and look at the last five games here. Net rating, Maryland, negative 17.2. They are in the sixth percentile. Of teams across the country. Oregon, minus 1.8, is 44th percentile. Offensive rating, Terps, 11th percentile. Ducks, 35th. Defensive rating, Ducks in the 19th percentile. Ducks, 59th. And in pace, the Terps have 60.5 possessions per game, last five. That is in the third percentile across the country, and the Ducks, 65.7. So the thing is, they're not great defensively, obviously. They're also pretty poor on offense across the board, other than offensive rebounding. And the pace could be ultra slow here in the game.
Yeah.
Total's 138.5.
You said it, though, earlier. These teams are so bad that are playing that it's really hard to find an angle. And like tomorrow, and like it goes back to, does everyone get a trophy and a juice box for what? No one, not every team needs to make the conference tournament.
Right.
Air Force plays out here tomorrow. They went 0-20 in conference and went 3-28 for the season. Now, they play Nevada-Reno, and Nevada's laying 20.5. Well, if they want to, yeah, they can beat them by 30.
Sure.
But you'd think they, I mean, they know they're taking the floor, that they're going to win this game, and it's just going to be a cakewalk, and there'll be nobody there. But why does Air Force deserve to make a conference tournament when they didn't win a single game in the league?
They don't. And I think if you pulled up their schedule, you would see that they got blitzed in almost every one of those games.
Yeah, average loss 28 points per game.
That'll do it right there.
Yes.
Yeah, I think these conferences need to put in like new parameters. And again, the leagues, they're in charge of each other. They could come up with whatever kind of rules they want. We've seen this, right? Like Georgia Southern had to win six games in six days, and they fell short last night. Great effort by them. But other teams get like automatically advanced into the semifinals. So you can do that and tinker with it just to give your best teams in the regular season the best chance to actually represent your league in the big dance, which is what you need to do more often. The Patriot League, they try to do it by giving the best team home court edge, but then Navy just, they couldn't overcome a super hot shooting day by Boston U and a terrible job by the clock operator at the end of that game.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you another game tonight in the Big Ten, Penn State and Northwestern. The total is 143.5. Penn State just rock bottom, right? In pace, Northwestern last five games, they're averaging 59 possessions per game. That's basically the slowest team in the entire country. Penn State games have averaged 65 possessions. That's in the 39th percentile. And the total is 143.5. Defensively, Penn State, terrible. Northwestern, a little bit better. Offensive rating, Penn State can't score at all, and Northwestern's actually pretty decent in the 71st percentile across the country. Are we going to get 144 points in that game? I tend to look at unders this time of year more than anything else.
Okay.
In games, first halves, all of it.
Do you want to jump in the ACC with the Duke injury news?
And try to fade them or grab another team?
Yeah. Like 8-1 on Virginia, 7-1. They could meet Duke in the final. Certainly still, you saw Duke had Flag hurt last year and still ran through the ACC tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But with the injuries that Duke has now, maybe you could make a case for somebody in there. And I know VSiN Betting Insights was saying maybe take a look at Virginia. They as the two seed could have a doable path to the final. Maybe you can maneuver and you wouldn't be that big of a dog. And maybe could upset Duke.
Let me get Foster's numbers here on the year. He started 30 of 31 games for Duke, averaging 8.5 points and 2.8 assists. It doesn't really move the needle to the point of where I want to get off my Duke-Florida parlay, to be honest.
Okay.
But, I mean, could that be a bigger injury than what I'm just going by right now with the overall numbers? I guess it could, but I also don't really trust any of these teams in the ACC. This is not when we were growing up with the ACC. And it's unfortunate that the Wilson injury is going to linger for the rest of the year. That kid's awesome. And North Carolina, I think, could have been pretty dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to take you brought up Virginia. Chris Massaro with us yesterday brought up Miami. What do you think about that team? They never played Duke this year.
Yeah. I think it's a more difficult path, though, who they face in the 3-6 game. UNLV moved a big time at DraftKings, 75-1 down to 45-1, which that was the number in town here to begin with. They have the 8-9 game laying 3.5 tomorrow against Wyoming. If they win, they're the early game Thursday against the 1-seed Utah State, who they swept and just beat last week by 27.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you could maybe see if they beat Utah State and are impressive again, they can't be that big of a dog then, considering it's on their home floor.
No.
And then whoever comes out of that 4-5 game and who they meet up in the semifinals.
And dare I say, for the first time in a long, long time, that actually might be a true home court edge for UNLV in this tournament. Something they haven't had since Kruger was the coach.
Mm-hmm. And like Adam Hill said yesterday, they play up to their level of competition, which a team like this, even though they're in the 8-9 game, have 4 quad one wins and dominated and beat Utah State, thrashed them in both meetings. So I still think there's a path there, and it's a bet. It's come down, though, with UNLV. And I'd love more on this tomorrow with Bruce Marshall, but if you missed it yesterday, the conundrum in the American Athletic Conference with UAB. It's in Birmingham, but not on their home floor. But UAB went 0-9 ATS in home conference games, but covered every road game in conference. So how you want to attack that with UAB? They're 22-1, and you have to fade a hot South Florida team that's playing well. We also got a couple tweets during the show. If a book's fell asleep where you're at with the whack, a guy decided to bet Utah Tech, the 3-seed, at what was the price?
14-1, because if they reseed, they're going to be bumped up to the semis. So if you can find that, that's a pretty good angle.
The 1-seed, Utah Valley, has until 5 o'clock to wire and put $1 million in escrow as their exit fee, as they're leaving and going to the Big West next year. If they don't, they will redo the bracket. That's what the WAC tweeted.
What a circus this is.
So do they actually get it in time?
I'm waiting for an update.
Do they punt? What do you think the best move is here for that program?
You got to get the money. I know.
You have to put the money in.
Unless, I mean, there's just, because the judge ordered it too. You're going against a judge's order.
Yeah.
Like, why are you, you're not above the exit fee. Everyone has to pay an exit fee if you're going to leave the league, which they're doing. So,
and you're the 1-seed in this tournament?
Oh, God.
With a chance to go and play in the big dance?
Yeah, right. You got to win 2 games.
Come on, guys. Get that money in.
Yeah. I don't know why they think they're above this, and that was the first couple tweets here, too. So the WAC put them on Front Street with this, and they're under the gun here. Close of business. They have to have it in, or else they're redoing the bracket and taking them out.
Yeah.
I feel terrible for the kids in that program, though, if that would happen.
Yeah, no kidding. They're going to look at everybody above them and say, we played all year long and had the best record in the league, and this is our reward. I mean, why would anybody come back to the program next year?
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't you immediately look to hit the transfer portal? You can't go. I mean, every kid's dream is to play basketball players, to play in March Madness, and they're going to have that taken away from them because they don't want to do something that every team is forced to do anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Let me see who the 2-seed is. Oh, Cal Baptist. They're leaving too.
Hmm.
They finished the game behind them. The Northeast game. I think we're on the same side. We are on the same side here. I think this is Mercyhurst Super Bowl. That this is their big moment on national TV, and this is unfortunate. with the silly rule that they can't participate, but this is still their moment to celebrate, and we claim the conference tournament winner, and the team that they're going against, even though it's on their home floor, has already clinched a bid in light of what happened Saturday with Long Island.
Sure.
And it's happened a few times, and I know sometimes the team that there is, it happened last year with Nebraska-Omaha, the team they faced, St. Tommy's, and Nebraska-Omaha was already in, and they won, and they were impressive. But another time it was Bellarmine, they went right out, and they were awesome in that game. They couldn't participate, but they were phenomenal and played a great game. And I think you're going to get a good performance out of Mercyhurst today, not to mention, for whatever reason, the favorite has been atrocious in this spot, including last year losing on their home floor as an 11-point favorite, Central Connecticut State.
Yeah, they lost 46-43 last year.
13 times?
Yeah, here you go. This
is nuts.
You pointed this out yesterday. Mackinnon has this on the website, vsin.com. Underdogs in the Northeast Conference Tournament, 16-3 ATS, including 13 outright upsets.
Those are big spreads because you're playing a road game.
Yeah, and if I recall correctly, didn't people think that Central Connecticut last year could have done some damage been like a threat to actually...
They had a good team.
...to their opponent in the first round? Yeah.
They totally choked.
And they put up 43 points in the finale?
Yeah, couldn't make a damn thing.
It's crazy how this stuff just remains the same in some of these tournaments. I can't get over the Summit League. 8-0 with unders this year. And they're a great over team. The numbers get inflated in time to come back and buy... on the under come tournament time. We'll get into something that we talk about all the time during this week and next week, comparing this Thursday through Sunday to next week, real or fugazi, next here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN. Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard are here to make you a friend of ours.
That would mean you were made, guy.
Investigating what is and isn't legit.
Plus, that's a fugazi. All right. That's a fugazi. You looked at it for 2 seconds.
Seeing through the lines to make you a better.
I know you know. And I know you know I know you know.
The FTM Army is being sent for.
An odd thing, you get sent for, you go in alive, you come out dead, and it's your best friend that does.
These two wise guys would never steer you wrong.
Forget about it.
This is Real or Fugazi on Follow the Money.
All right, we've got a great email, ftm@vsin.com, from Andy. A lot of people are taking our advice and coming out for championship weekend, not the actual madness. It's so popular now, how big it is. But we know from a betting standpoint, I'm asking from a fan standpoint, give me Thursday through Sunday this week as opposed to Thursday through Sunday next week. Andy's email, while we're on the air Thursday, 44 games, 13 games in progress during your show. More if the ones that start at 11 a.m. go over the two-hour window. Friday, 34 games, 9 while we're on the air. Saturday, 21 games, 99 games in a three-day span. Next Thursday, 16. Next Friday, 16. Saturday and Sunday, only 8. Not to mention, Saturday and Sunday starts with 2 standalone games.
I hate the schedule have for a decade now, Saturday and Sundays. Next week.
Right.
For the first four
Those
days.
First
they have
two
to
games
tinker.
Are by themselves.
I can't believe they haven't figured out how they've screwed that up now yet. And this is from Cody on X from Indiana, taking our advice, coming out here this week. He said, let's go. You're not going to regret it. I would think yes, unless this comes into play as well. If people maybe have an easier excuse to get off next week from work, I don't know if that's the case or not. We live in this, so yeah. I don't know. But I would. This goes all the way back to even, Paul, when we were, I don't know, our days like high school, growing up, beyond that. Next week's awesome. It's basically as good as it gets. But also the thing about coming out to Las Vegas for it anyway, everything's cheaper. Don't have as big of crowds. flights cheaper, hotels cheaper, all of it. So if that's something that appeals to you as well, that makes the whole and just more games again, all at the same time.
Give me I think this Friday's the best day of the college basketball season every year. And the Saturday after that is the second best.
Now, I will say the atmosphere next week anywhere in Las Vegas is it's better than the Super Bowl.
But you have to get good games, though, too. And looking at, you know, the people saying Cinderella's dead and the big difference between haves and have-nots, and we could see a lot of blowouts, that certainly hurts. So that's real. Also, is this...
Utah-Cincinnati just went over by 1 point.
Oh, how many second-half points? Oh, man.
90. They needed 90 and they got it to beat me.
We can't have 100 degrees next week already for the madness, real or fugazi.
So when I first moved out here, again, that's another reason. I'm like, it was 74, not a cloud every day of March. I'm like, this is absolutely heaven.
Oh.
And it makes the madness even that much better. And now we're looking at 95, maybe 100. It doesn't get that hot until May now.
Yeah.
But also I would say if it gets to 100 next week or the week after, it can't be 100 until October, can it?
I would hope not.
I would certainly hope not.
This was just 40 degrees 10 days ago.
We only had like 2 weeks to wear hoodies out here, I think, this year.
I know.
We need hoodie season, man.
God, imagine the people passing out at the pool next week. Oh, moderation, please.
Adds another layer to the whole handicap.
Real or fugazi, Steve Kerr is making a lot of sense. Last night after the loss, let's shorten the season by 10 games. The pace of play would help. I get it. It's revenue. It's a little less money. But the league signed a multi-billion-dollar TV deal. There are times where we go on road trips and we can't even get a practice in. This would also cut down on tanking. Real or fugazi?
Well, he's 100% real. And for the people who were calling him a crybaby last night and disagreeing, you're not thinking this one all the way through.
All these leagues are too long.
Oh, 100% they are. Baseball, if it cut down to 120 games right now, it would be infinitely better. The NBA, again, we had Tom Haberstroh on our show a couple years ago, and he had a great breakdown. And I told he wants the league to go to like 58 games and only to play like on two nights a week. Do you know how much better the NBA would be if you only had games like three or four nights a week? That was it. And then there is no, we don't have a back-to-back. We don't have load management and any of this nonsense going on. You're going to get players playing all 82 games or much more of it. It's going to go back closer to what we had. And it won't be 82 games. I'm sorry. It'll be whatever the number is at that point. But if you put, it makes it that much more special. That's one of the reasons why the NFL is so popular. Or it was for so many years. You get it on Sundays and only Monday nights. Now it's like 5 days a week.
Okay.
But
well, here's my comeback. Is this going to be the NBA moving forward? Where it's in staggering pace of play, and you have to guard all these. According to ESPN, teams are averaging 115 points per game, highest since 1970. More points goes hand-in-hand with pace of play, which has also reached record-breaking highs. Players have combined to cover 37 miles per game at an average speed of 4.3 miles per hour, the longest average distance and fastest average speed since player tracking began in 2013-14. It's a completely different sport than the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, if you put this side by side with the game from the 80s or the early 90s, it doesn't even look the same whatsoever. And I think a lot of this has to do with also what Steph Curry did.
Uh-huh.
Being a 6'3 guard who is the best shooter of all time and making that many threes completely changed the culture of this sport and how every kid growing up wanted to play the game. Because that's relatable. Like, nobody can relate to LeBron's body or athleticism or Michael Jordan, right? Kobe, whatever. Nobody can do that. But a 6'3 kid or a 6'1 kid from anywhere can go out and shoot the daylights out of the basketball. And with handles, he might have a chance to play. And so as teams realize that if we take 53s a game and the pace and the space is going to become such a big deal, I don't see that going any away anytime soon.
It's unfortunate that... Gonzaga, St. Mary's coming to an end. Gonzaga leaves for the new Pac-12 next year. Real or fugazi, the Pac-12 will be a major letdown. Oregon State, Washington State, Boise, Colorado State, Fresno, San Diego State, Utah State, Gonzaga.
I will hold out hope because, like, I want more West Coast sports like that, and I miss the old Pac-12 like crazy. But are you saying, like, a letdown from the West Coast?
I think, of what, yeah, and what people are expecting, and maybe can they steal some other and poach some other schools. It's a good basketball league. It's a bad football league.
Oh, no question about that. I also, I'm going to, like Gonzaga, St. Mary's was great basketball for many, many, many years.
Yeah, Texas State, too. I've left out Texas State. Well, but that's not...
How dare you miss that team?
I'm surprised UNLV didn't jump. They didn't do that. The lava cake is underrated. Real or fugazi?
Yeah, but how so? Is it because it's not as popular as other desserts?
I think... Well, number one, I think it's hard to find.
Oh, it's not, and, it's not available on menus.
That's
okay.
Right. That's right. And it's also... The chef at Prime here in Bellagio invented the lava cake. This is
what's
incredible.
What's his name? Bob Cobb?
Yeah, Bob Cobb. John Georges?
Oh, John George, yeah.
Okay. He, in New York City in 1987, he pulled a chocolate cake from the oven too early, told his staff, serve it anyways. The center was still runny, but tasted delicious, introduced it in the late 80s, took off, and he's owned like five different restaurants.
Oh,
but
yeah,
that's
super, yeah.
I had no idea. They told me that last night. It's unbelievable.
You've had chocolate lava cake before, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But, no, I would say like it probably
but it's
should
not,
be.
It's, even though he invented it, it's not on the menu at Prime. You got to ask for it.
Interesting. Who doesn't like a good chocolate lava cake?
Well,
it's delicious.
I love it that he invented it on accident, though.
Oh, sure.
That he pulled it too soon. It's like, serve it anyways. What the hell?
Yeah, any
and
of that stuff.
Loved it.
Like a good brownie? Top a good brownie. How do you do that?
Sure.
They're incredible.
Good one. Yeah.
Chocolate souffle? That's
sure.
Why when you go to a restaurant, they say, hey, if you want the souffle, tell us
so
now because it's going to take 35 minutes.
You put the ice cream on top.
Yeah.
Dan made some good points earlier. Real or fugazi? I'd rather have Tua than Danny Dimes coming off the Achilles.
By the way, Danny Dimes, he wants $50 million?
That's, come on.
There's absolutely no chance on earth team should give him $50 million. So yes, Tua, 100% all day long.
That's not a bad sell job about he's been awful in bad weather and cold, but here it's all playing in a dome. Yeah?
Yeah, but I also don't know if he beats Michael Penix.
Yeah,
but
okay.
There should be like a true competition, I think, for that starting quarterback position there in Atlanta.
Okay. We're brought to you by ProfitX. March Madness got a lot more interesting. They're running the King of March. We can win free trips worth up to $10,000 just by betting the tournament. Win 10 pregame spreads or totals across the 67 games and hit your volume goal. Flights, hotels, wherever you want to go, ProfitX covers it. Download the app. Use code VSINMM and start winning. VSINMM's your code. King of March only on ProfitX. Hit $10,000. You're entered for the $10,000 trip. Hit $1,000 in volume. You're entered for a $5,000 trip. Get up there now. 10 plays wins 10 grand. ProfitX.
Okay. Thomas Gable on the program next. He runs the Borgata Sportsbook in Atlantic City. This is great because he's sending us messages today. He's like, hey, there's a really interesting handicap, fascinating from a betting perspective with the A10. I really want to do a deep dive on that. Perfect. So he's going to do that along with the A10 as well. And a preview of I mentioned the A10, and with the Big East coming up, it's Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Follow the Money is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now their King of March promotion is giving bettors a shot at free trips worth up to $10,000. Use the promo code VSINMM to get started with ProfitX, and right now we head back east. Thomas Gable joins the program on the Progressive Guest Line. He's in charge of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata in Atlantic City. Thomas, good to talk to you. I can't wait to hear this because you sent me a message earlier today and said, fascinating handicap to the A10 tournament. I want to do a deep dive on it. Can't wait to hear what it is. I will point out that St. Louis is the short shot at plus 125, but they have been blasted twice in their last four games. Then it's VCU plus 175. Pauly has a bet on Dayton, and they're around 6-1 right now. The floor is yours, pal. What stands out to you about this league?
Yeah, I think this tournament is fascinating because I believe, certainly with the way St. Louis current form is, that you can make a case for six different teams here in this tournament. So we can start at the top there with St. Louis, and they have by all means throughout the season, they have been the class of this conference. And But they have been sort of on a downward trend, I would say, the last, you know, 3-4 weeks, 5 weeks of the season. It's not been quite as good for Josh Schertz's group. Now, Schertz is a tremendous coach. I think he's done a great job there. He obviously was fantastic at Indiana State when he was there. And there's a lot of things to like with this group because they have seven guys who can play, who all contribute. It's an unselfish group. And they Schertz kind of lets them play. He like kind of lets them take what the defense dictates for them. So I've always liked how they've done this season. But as you said, they've lost some games here lately, and we're just blown out. And you know, going into this tournament, not in the greatest of form. So then you look, okay, VCU probably. Well, they are the number two seed. I make them only a 1-point dog right now to St. Louis. VCU has come on very strong under Phil Martelli Jr. there. And then you look at the other two teams there that have a double bye. So there's four teams that get a double bye in this tournament. So you have St. Louis, VCU, St. Joe's, who's the 3 seed, and then Dayton, who's the 4 seed. Now, St. Joe's has been playing exceptionally well here lately as well. I bumped their power rating up probably about 5 points in the last 8 weeks, 7 weeks or so of the season. Their defense is really what carries the day for them. This was another interesting kind of coaching story around the Hawks this year. They had Billy Lang, who was their head coach for a couple seasons there. He exited not with much time left, really, before the season, and took an MBA job. They brought in Donahue to be the coach. And this is Lang's roster. Definitely Lang put this team together, but Donahue's the one who has really kind of led this team back. And they dismissed kind of the guy that the whole program was built around, Deuce Jones, after only a couple games this season. And you can see that was certainly in hindsight, the right move for St. Joe's, because this team has just really come together now as a team. Guys have stepped up. Maybe they were just role players. They now have stepped up in the leadership positions. Jaden Glover Toscano, who's a sophomore guard, he's the one guy who has really kind of come on strong and certainly has led this team from an offensive standpoint. So, and then you get down to Dayton, who's the 4 seed. Now, I said 6 teams initially could potentially win this. And when you're looking at the odds board for this tournament, I mean, Dayton's 6-1. St. Joe's, right now, we have a 12-1. George Washington, we have at 16-1. George Washington is the 9th seed in this tournament. Mm. And they're only at 16-1. And then you still have George Mason there, who I think you could make a case for as well, at 30-1. Mason's the 5th seed. Now they would get a matchup. They will face the winner of LaSalle and St. Bonnie's tomorrow. George Mason will face. So if you say there, then they'll go on to face Dayton potentially. And Mason and Dayton right now, I have Dayton would be basically a 3-point favorite over Mason. And just again, if George Washington advances there against Fordham, they face St. Louis. And George Washington, at this point, I would only make a 5-point dog to St. Louis.
Oh.
So there is definitely potential for chaos in this tournament. You have VCU and St. Louis. They are the two top seeds, and they're top seeds for a reason. But there are quite a few teams that are kind of just right under there and can certainly play with both of those teams and beat them. So I would not be surprised to see any of those 6 teams potentially coming away with it. St. Louis, Dayton, VCU, St. Joe's, George Washington, or even George Mason. You can make a case for any of the 6 to come away with the title here. And then when you're really looking at it from a NCAA tournament perspective, I mean, St. Louis is in. VCU seems to be in at this point.
Yep.
So, you know, if you get one of these other teams across the finish line there, potentially you're looking at 3 8-10 teams in the tournament.
Great breakdown. Yeah. Also, nobody gets an advantage with the location and Pitt. You know, I agree with everything you said. It's hard to bet VCU at plus 180. But you know, this is wide open and an excellent breakdown. What do you think of the Big East and what this means for business at your joint, and if we can get a St. John's UConn round three?
Well, I mean, that's where it should be. I mean, that should be the final here. I mean, UConn is favored for this tournament, $1.35. You have to lay $1.35 there if you want. But UConn, St. John's, plus 210 right now. And then Nova, who's the three seed, plus 550. And Nova, I mean, when you look at, again, I think Kevin Willard's done a tremendous job with this school this year. There's definitely a drop off between UConn and St. John's and then the rest of the conference. But I think Phil Nova has done a very good job being that firm number three team in the conference this year. And they certainly could give a game to either Connecticut or St. John's. But I see this probably going the way of the chalk here in UConn meeting St. John's in the final. Obviously, St. John's would, you know, being at the Garden, obviously that's their home floor. They would have somewhat of a home court advantage there. On a true neutral, I make UConn about 2.5 point favorite over St. John's at the moment. So I could see at the Garden this being about 1.5 to 1 point favorite for UConn. But, you know, UConn is, I think, still kind of bubbling right underneath that very, very top tier of college basketball in terms of the national title contenders. You know, you have the very, very top, which is in no particular order, Michigan, Duke, Florida, and Arizona. And then UConn is probably right underneath there with another handful of schools in that. But I think just due to Hurley and the experience that he has in the tournament, I think Hurley's a tremendous coach. This team, I think, definitely has an outside chance to win another national title, but they just aren't quite on that upper echelon level of the top four.
Thomas, in about a minute here, on the games that we have remaining on the board tonight, some of the numbers obviously have moved. Do you like anything currently available?
What's Wright State now? Are they still 4.5, I think? Yeah, they're still around 4. I laid 4 with them this morning, seeing some 5s. Really, I mean, these numbers are spot on. Okay. at this point. So everything is, I thought all the numbers actually today that were out in the market were very good.
Yeah. How about this one? In Atlantic City tonight, Siena takes on Merrimack in the Metro Atlantic finale. You can't book this because of state rules there, but a nice 2.5 point move here. Merrimack was 4. They're down to 1.5 now, the way it looks.
Yeah. So I mean, that would be tempting. If I could bet that, I would be tempted to delay it there on Merrimack. I mean, Siena obviously hit some money, but Siena, from what I'm hearing, going to have a very, very strong crowd showing up there tonight. They're busing quite a few of the students in, so should be a decent crowd there at Boardwalk Hall tonight.
Thomas, great perspective today. Thank you for the time. We appreciate that.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Thomas Gable at the Borgata in Atlantic City joined us here on the Progressive Guest Line.
Juice Reel links all your sportsbook accounts, imports your bets, and gives you automatic tracking and analytics, and it's free in the app. Everyone's bet history is synced directly from the books. No faking stats, no lying about profits. You're as good as your record says you are. They rank every bettor, and you can see exactly what the best bettors in the community have their money on, tail their picks, join in on the profits, and if you're the sharp one, you get paid when others follow your picks and win. Download Juice Reel today. It's free. R-E-E-L. Get it today. The days of Capper's Line are over. Juice Reel. It's free. R-E-E-L. Get Juice Reel.
You have an intriguing list of games tonight to bet on in the association, including two of the hottest teams in the league for 2+ months meeting tonight on the court. We'll break it down for you coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
some good games tonight in the NBA, including the Celtics at the Spurs. San Antonio currently a 3.5-point favorite. The total is 221.5. That's down a point from earlier today. A lot of numbers here on both these teams. Since January 1st, San Antonio is number one overall in efficiency differential at plus 10.8. Boston's third at plus 10.2. Also, since February 1st, San Antonio, 15-1 overall. That's their straight-up record. Best in the league, number one on offense, number two on defense. Boston, 13-3 overall, second in the NBA, number one on defense, number six on offense. Jason Tatum's been back for two games. He's played about 27 minutes in each. I would suspect that it would be around that same number tonight. I'm not going to say that he's going to go to like 40 minutes all of a sudden in this game. Do we have enough here with Boston to take the 3.5 with this two-game sample size with Tatum?
No, and I also agree with Nick Whalen. Tatum points under tonight at 20.5, 19.5, based on you going against a strong defensive team, and this going to, I think they'll have a tough go of it against a top outfit here. And if they can navigate this gauntlet, they won at Philly, they destroyed Detroit again, they came back to beat the Clippers. They punished Houston. Then it's Boston, Denver, Charlotte, and at the Clippers. They've won 15 of 16. If they can keep winning games here and the uncertainty of who's in, who's out, and a tough schedule with OKC, they can make this interesting, two back in the loss column. But the way they're playing and how these young guys are coming together, and you just see where they're going to be a force for years in this league. And some people are saying, well, it's different once you get into the playoffs, and all I know is they went 4-1 against the Thunder, and they've won 15-16, and they have an unbelievable alien on what he's doing. 38-16, 27-10, 29-8 the last three games. They are awesome, and they can score.
Longer term for this year, I think once we get into the playoffs, other teams not named Oklahoma City and San Antonio, how much do we really trust them? I mean, Denver's offense is absolutely sensational. They've been number one in the league pretty much the entire year, and you're going to have Joker on the court for a seven-game series. But the defense has been a problem since the beginning of the season, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
Does that all of a sudden get better come playoff? How? Why would it? Like, are they going to beat San Antonio or Oklahoma City before the Western Conference Finals? Like, I think we're on a collision course here, are we not, between the Spurs and the Thunder? And look at the Thunder last night. Again, down several guys. And SGA just played out of his mind. He's now 1,000 as a favorite to win the MVP. And I just, in my head, I can't get over what does this team look like in April and May, assuming they're going to be at full strength. It just, it's crazy how many games they've lost. And yet here's their, again, we can't forget they started 24-1 before some of that stuff set in and they were losing guys to, you know, to injuries and whatever else.
Well, this team's had their number though.
Yeah, but were they, I don't know this top of my head, were the Thunder ever, did they ever have a full complement of players against the Spurs this year?
I think to one of the games they did, but
That's what I'm saying though. I mean,
but these guys this team has incredible depth too, and so many guys that can score.
Yeah, like, but I mean, who's beating Oklahoma City other than the Spurs, potentially?
I still think there's something there with Denver. I mean, they went seven games last year, and Denver, your comeback is they're a different team with a healthy Gordon, and he's going to fix the defense. But
I won't rule them out.
Yeah,
because Joker's also a walking triple-double, and anything's possible with that guy. But that's we're not going to make another case for another team in the West, right?
That's it. Right. I still think this could be a race and make this interesting if Wembanyama continues to dominate and they can catch the Thunder and keep winning games.
Oh, no,
now,
I mean,
they got to keep winning this tough gauntlet coming up, as I said. But a 15-1 run and just a hiccup in the Garden against the Knicks when they played their best defensive game of the season. This is wild.
Oh, give me Spurs Thunder all day long in the Western Conference Finals.
Yep. But Whalen, I think, was right about it's a different ball game now from Tatum. He has looked good in the first two games, which is unexpected, and the minutes. But now you're going against a freight train and an awesome team here on the road against the Spurs.
There's also no Pritchard in the game tonight.
Yep.
And he's been an awesome, obviously, bench guy again this year for the Celtics. I know a lot of people were making the case for San Antonio today at this number. I haven't bet it. I don't think I'm going to. Just want to watch it and maybe get involved live later on.
Okay. I want to make the case for the Timberwolves. Now, they're hard to get. They have somehow shot up to the 3 seed in the West.
Mm-hmm.
But the concern is You don't know what team you're going to get night in, night out. But I like that they're coming off a horrible performance at home when they were blasted by the Magic and were never in the game. Usually when they get blown out or embarrassed, they respond. And I think they also want to beat the Lakers, number one, because it's the Lakers. I don't like the fact that the Lakers are coming off a great win where they're smelling themselves after they dominated the Knicks. And the Timberwolves are on a back-to-back. They have the Clippers tomorrow. So they don't want to lose this game, considering the tough back-to-back against a good Clipper team tomorrow as well. They beat them in five last year in the playoffs. It's a tough matchup for the Lakers. So I would lay the small number with the T-Wolves tonight on the road and think they respond after that poor bad performance, 119-92 against Orlando.
Yep, you said everything, all my bullet points there. You got there right before I did, Paulie. It all makes a lot of sense.
They had won 9-10 before that performance, too.
Sure.
Saturday.
And it makes so much sense that the Timberwolves would get blown out by Orlando over the weekend and bounce back and take apart a Lakers team that LeBron's still questionable from what I've seen for the game tonight. I actually think that you want LeBron to play if you want to bet the Wolves, because the Lakers overall are 9-2 on the year when LeBron does not play. And when Luka and Austin Reeves are on the court together, they are +6 with a net rating. And with Luka and LeBron on the floor, they're -3.
The numbers are good with just LeBron, though. It's that you can't play the three guys at the same time. The Luka, LeBron, but also it's a disaster when all three of them are on the floor because it's how bad they are defensively. But it's the numbers are good when it's just LeBron. So that's the issue. Although since all this has come out, And people have pointed out these numbers, LeBron has played well. Then he got hurt, though, in the Denver game. But certainly that was a great win against the Knicks, and they were solid defensively in that game.
No, full year. This has to be it for him. They're going nowhere with the guy. So I don't know where he's going to go, but the Lakers can't possibly run it back and be serious about it next year.
How about Golden State? People are talking about Golden State.
The landing spot for him?
Yeah.
I guess it would make some sense if they want to try it.
Yeah.
What do we do with Charlotte right now tonight? Lane 3 against the Blazers. And they've had two now. Well, really bad fourth quarter against Miami on Friday night and a bad second half the other night against Phoenix.
I think they respond. They're a better team on the road. It just seemed where this is why we can't have nice things. When everyone's buying in and giving them their flowers after the great run, and after they hammer Boston on the road, they turn around and lose at home to the Heat and couldn't guard Hero, and then follow that up with a bad second half against the Suns. So they're taking on a Portland team that's three games under .500. I think they're better than Portland, and they'll show it tonight, and they will respond and regroup. As far as what do we do with the Tankapalooza parlay, it pays +105. You got to hold your nose, and one of them you have to put the Warriors on the ticket after that bad performance and the product they're putting out there with all these guys that are hurt. But they are laying 6.5 at home to the Bulls. It would be Golden State, the Pistons, the Atlanta Hawks, and Miami.
Yeah, Miami's up to a 16.5 point favorite, by the way, in this game. And they're going to be without, I think, a couple of guys tonight.
I don't think Hero's playing. Yeah,
I don't think so. And where might not go?
The winning streak has occurred with Powell out, too. And Atlanta, it was 9.5, 10, 10.5. They have won 6 in a row now. And Jalen Johnson's been great. I don't shy away from the total, even though it's 240. That game they played Saturday against Philly was a track meet. Crazy game up and down. I think Dallas will run with them. Dallas doesn't defend. And I think Atlanta wins. It's a lot of points, though. But I think you can see a track meet in this game tonight with Atlanta as they've been so good during this winning streak.
Here's more good news with that 6-game win streak, Paulie. In that time, third offensively, first defensively in the league, +19.5 net rating, also first in the NBA. That's the good news. The bad news, they played Brooklyn, Washington twice, Portland, Milwaukee, and that Philadelphia game.
Yeah, it's been bad teams. No
but
doubt.
Also, they're getting another bad team tonight.
Right, right. So if you want to take the +105, there's your parlay going against these teams.
I would throw in a couple of college teams, too.
Okay.
Like Baltimore County, they're starting to take more money now. They're up to like 7, 7.5.
Vermont.
McNeese.
Okay.
But now we're talking about like a 7-leg parlay. You want to get nuts? Huh? Have some guts.
Follow the Money brought to you by ProfitX. They're making March Madness about more than just your bracket. It's the King of March. Free trips worth up to $10,000 on the line. You have to win 10 pregame spreads or totals across the tournament, 67 games, and hit your volume goal. 1,000 in volume gets you entered in the $5,000 trip $10,000 in volume gets you entered into the 10K trip, flights, hotels, and your destination all covered. Sign up with code VSINMM, VSINMM, and compete to become the king of March only on ProfitX. 10 plays win 10 grand with the March College Hoops Guide. VSINMM is your code. Go get it.
Five more teams will be dancing tonight. We will get into the title games and the college basketball card, and we are witnessing an all-time stink bomb at the half in the Big Ten title game. I'll give you the details on that next.